Good morning. I'm so glad to be back from Spain to be with you all this morning. If you didn't know, myself and 27 others from St. Luke's are fresh off the Camino, the ancient pilgrimage which winds through parts of Spain and France, depending on which route you take. Our group walked 115 kilometers together, but it was more than that, traversing the northern part of Spain from Sarria to Santiago. It was a transformative journey, and though many of us will be sharing about it later on, I thought I'd warn you that it made its way into the sermon today too, because I just couldn't help myself. A hearty thanks to all of you who prayed for us while we were walking. I hope you know that we prayed for you too along the way. In addition to the safe return of pilgrims, we have many more things to celebrate today. It's Father's Day, of course, and we offer special gratitude to all of you who have shared your fatherly care and attention with this world. We're indebted to your love. It's also Juneteenth, though not technically celebrated for a few more days. We recognize today that the struggle for freedom and equality in this nation is ongoing, even as we celebrate the particular day of June 19th in 1865, when the last of the enslaved African populations residing in this country, in Texas, heard the news that they had been freed 2 years after the Emancipation Proclamation. Today is also my last time to be with you in this pulpit as the Associate Rector for Children, Youth, and Families. Don't make me cry. Before we, as you know, and my family move to Virginia later this month. So today is a significant day because of this for me as well. There is a lot going on this Sunday, but I am thankful that we know how to make space for it all in this place. So please, pray with me. Holy God, gather us now into the body of your Son, and by your Holy Spirit, keep our feet on the path that leads to freedom. Amen. Among other things, our readings today offer some important redirection. In their own way, each of them serves to release readers from traditional associations and dominant systems of meaning, prevalent not only when these texts were written, but also in our current moment. In so doing, the various writers of these texts give readers now and then a way in which they might reorient their lives and surrender themselves more fully to the hope and provision promised by the reign of God. In the Old Testament reading we just heard, we learned that Samuel is on a journey to find King Saul's replacement. And along the way, God tells the prophet that while humans look at the outward appearance, God will choose the next leader of Israel by looking at the heart. So when God chooses David, the smallest and youngest son of Jesse, not the oldest, readers would have understood that God was making an unlikely choice. Samuel's anointing of David was thus a break from the custom of the times, a sign disclosing how the values of God's reign contrasted with the traditional marks of status and power. God's unlikely choice was a redirection. This pattern of redirection continues in the New Testament readings. In 2 Corinthians, Paul admonishes Christians to walk, not by sight, but by faith, according to the love of God urging them on. I just love that, the love of God urging them on. Because Christ's own death served as evidence of God's love and allegiance to be on the way with humanity, especially the poor and the crucified ones, these Christians and us also, no longer, the text says, need to consider one another from a human point of view on the basis of the past or what could be won or lost, but as fodder for new creation. For them and for Paul, the cross was the most unlikely sign of God's provision. This alternative way of life not only redirected Christians to a freedom from the world, It set them free to live dangerously in it, to follow Jesus to the places where the powers of the world did their worst, and to stare the beast of injustice in the eye without blinking, as my professor Craig Green liked to tell us. Indeed, the promise of God's coming reign, even in the most unlikely and hellish places of this world, does more than just redirect the commonly acclaimed values of the age. It conjures hope, hope in the midst of despair, and community, community in the midst of all that would try to act against it. In the gospel reading, readers are again redirected by the unlikely sign of God's reign, by Jesus himself this time. In the gospel text from Mark, Jesus reminds the masses how the reign of God is often constituted by the small, mundane work of the everyday. Jesus begins by stating that the kingdom of God is like someone scattering seed and releasing what sustenance she has to the ground. The sower reaps a harvest beyond her ability to comprehend. And Jesus continues the land-based parable in the next verse also, liking the entire reign of God to one of the smallest of seeds, the mustard seed. And Jesus says, when this seed is released and finds refuge in the ground, it grows up and puts forth branches and offers rest to living things. Therefore, strangely, in the midst of its offering, the seed who first found refuge in the ground transforms into a refuge itself. Though these texts we are given are small windows into the nature of God's kingdom as an economy based on sharing, we understand that they are forged by ways of mutual offering. When one gives who one is and what one has to the grace and provision of God, no matter how small or seemingly insignificant or unlikely the offering, it grows and multiplies by an equation we fail to understand. I think this might be what the Christian tradition calls grace. Amazing grace, if you will. The tiny mustard seed, when joined to the earth, becomes the greatest of all shrubs. Finding refuge in the ground, the smallest and most likely of seeds, is transformed into a refuge itself. The one who finds solidarity with another is made a new creation. In the economy of God, what is offered becomes itself an offering, the very substance of life which bringeth forth life. And it is God who makes this so. This reality is our true freedom, to know that the fruition of God's grace will and can never be redirected. And so perhaps the task of the Christian is to consent to it. A week ago Thursday, those of us who walked the Camino got a small taste of this grace-filled economy. Aware that one among us was carrying significant grief from a recent death of a family member, several of us decided to show up, like Sharon Brous taught us to do, and walk alongside this grieving one. Reorienting the way of our walking to theirs, we allowed our bodies to be redirected. Along the way, I began to pick up bark from the eucalyptus trees that covered the ground under our feet, and bark from the eucalyptus trees that rose tall, so tall, on either side of the path. And as I walked, I began to weave the rough but supple bark together. At first, I didn't exactly know why, but Chris and Alex helped to gather more pieces, and soon I had spun them all into a wreath. Spotting Jeffrey, a ways up the road, I hurried up to catch up, telling him I needed his flower guild skills. And he more than adequately greened the wreath with brush from the bushes and trees lining the way. Next, we added flowers. They carried our prayers and honored the one who had died. Someone offered a knife to help cut through the tough stems. Another carried our extra things so we could better hold the wreath. And as the wreath continued to take shape, many pilgrims added their own offerings of color collected from the roadside. Even across all language barriers, these other pilgrims seemed to know what we were doing. They also redirected their bodies to share in the work of this remembrance. One pilgrim was so moved, she dedicated the rest of her walk to the deceased stranger she learned about on the way. Grace, I think. Together we moved along with the wreath woven from the small offerings. At some point later, I realized that this work had woven us together also, becoming the means by which we ourselves were created into a new community, one that somehow found out how we could bear one another's burdens and offer signs of hope and healing along the way. The way is made up of small steps, we like to say on the Camino. The reign of God is made up by small offerings, which redirect us to freedom, to the promise of God's ultimate grace and provision. Throughout my tenure at St. Luke's, I have witnessed many of your small offerings and your willingness to be redirected to the coming reign of God. These choices over the years have made this place like a refuge to many, a witness to the abundant grace and provision of God. And as I take my leave from you in the coming weeks, I pray that you will continue to be faithful to the small choices and the mundane work of the everyday, knowing ever more how much they matter, how much they have mattered to me, how much they have mattered to you, and how much they can continue to matter to service the ongoing work of God's liberating and life-giving love in this world. Howard Thurman writes, "Therefore, if where you sit this morning, you are saying to yourself the tasks of life are so big and that you are so little, that if you are saying that what is required is so great and that what you have to give is so insignificant, if you are saying that this kind of a world in which only certain select persons are instruments in the hands of the living vitality, of the life-giving energy of the living God, may I suggest to you that where you are now, if you are able to yield the nerve center of your consent to something which to you, as you are, is more important even than whether you live or die, then yield to it. And let the vast creative movement of the living spirit, of the living God, course through you. And at the point of your commitment, your strength is magnified, your qualities become enlarged, and what you are able to do becomes not a sacrifice, but a sacrament. And this is the basis of Christian doctrine, which insists that the heart and the mind of humans must be redirected and surrendered to the kingdom of God. And all else flows from the absolutism of that kind of commitment.